Deuteronomy chapter 22, verse 8. The Bible says, "When thou buildest a new house, then thou shalt make a battlement for thy roof, that thou bring not blood upon thine house, if any man fall from thence." As we turn our attention to the book of Deuteronomy, it is important for us to remember that this book is a book of sermons preached to the Israelites by the leader Moses. These sermons were exhortations given shortly before the people of God would enter into the promised land. Moses, in this book, in Deuteronomy, rehearses all that God has done for them in the past. He brings to light God's goodness as well as the people's disobedience. He reminds the people of God that they were once slaves in Egypt, but God heard their cry, and God saved them from the bondage of slavery in Egypt, and God brought them out of that land and promised them to bring them into a land that is plenty. And so Moses in this book rehearses how God has provided for them, how God has protected them. Moses repeats all that God expects from them. Deuteronomy is a second giving of the law. The law has already been given by Moses to the children of Israel. But here again, Moses gives a reminder, and how important reminders are for us. There's a reason why the preacher repeats the same truths over and over and over and over, because we are liable to forget those truths, and we need to hear it over and over and over and over. So Moses lays out the laws of God once again, and Moses urges the people to be faithful to the Lord, to be diligent in following the ways of God, to be diligent in teaching the Word of God to their children and the next generation. Moses reminds the people of the danger of following other gods, those that are not true gods, those that are idols. He exhorts the Israelites not to become self-righteous. He tells them in Deuteronomy not to look to themselves as though they had gained this land in their own strength. And as Moses preaches and preaches and repeats, he is directed by God to speak about specific laws that God requires. Laws about what animals to eat and what animals not to eat. Laws about debts. Laws about observance of festivals. Laws about not moving the boundary markers of neighbors. Laws about how to conduct civil matters. And laws about how to treat slaves. And here in our text, Deuteronomy chapter 22, verse 8, we find that God also wanted the Israelites to have laws about how their homes were built. And this is our text tonight. In Deuteronomy chapter 22, verse 8, God is giving the Israelites a building code to abide by. The code is, when they build a house, there must be a barrier wall. There must be a railing around the house that is to be a preventative from others falling off. Ancient Eastern homes were flat, and the occupants of such homes were accustomed to spend much of their day and night on the tops of their house. This was the place where socializing happened. This is where children would often play. In the cool of the evening, it would be a place where others can go up onto the top of their house and gaze upon the stars that God has made. And if a home did not have a low protective wall, if it did not have a railing, it caused great risk for children and adults to fall over, either becoming injured or dying. And so there you have it. This is our message for tonight. Make sure your homes have a railing around the roof. Let's have an altar call for all the disobedient Christians without a railing around their home. Now, I joke, but this is what some modern Bible interpreters would say. They would look at a text like that and say, there's nothing here for us. There's nothing helpful for the Christian today. This is a physical law given to a physical nation long ago. This is insignificant to Christians living in 2018. We do not socialize on the tops of our homes. We do not let our children run around on our roof, at least we hope not. And so we don't need the law of Moses here recorded for us in Deuteronomy 22, verse 8. They would say this is unimportant, this is out of date, no application. But we know better, don't we? We must never let such people steal away the precious spiritual truths that are found even in the law. There's an application right here in this one verse for believers. There's an exhortation for the church at large. Remember the words of Paul in the New Testament. Paul, referring to the Old Testament, says, "For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope." And Paul says in 2 Timothy 3:16, "All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works." He told the Corinthian church that that which was written through Moses and the prophets, that which was written in the Old Testament, was written for our admonition. And so there is a lesson right here on spiritual safeguards. And if you listen closely, the Holy Spirit in this text is urging believers to erect spiritual guardrails in their lives so that a devastating spiritual fall does not take place. That's the application. So let's consider the text again and allow me to point out three main lessons from this law in Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy 22, verse 8. "When thou buildest a new house, then thou shalt make a battlement," translation, a railing, a small wall for thy roof, "that thou bring not blood upon thine house, if any man fall from thence." What is the application? What is the truth that we can pull from this verse? Well, notice first, I want you to see the purpose of the railing. We've already alluded to it, but let me expound upon it further. What was the purpose of the railing? Why did God want a railing to be built when one builds a new house? Well, the simple and immediate answer is to protect. That was the purpose of the railing. So people don't fall off, so blood is not shed. The purpose of the railing was to protect the homeowner and others who would come into that house. Which teaches us then that God is not out to make our lives miserable. There is a weird, twisted view that some have that God is a cosmic killjoy. That God takes pleasure in seeing people live dull, boring lives. They look at the Bible, they look at Christianity, these people, and they think that God is some harsh tyrant in heaven, and God has given all these do's and don'ts in the Word of God so as to receive joy and pleasure in seeing His slaves do exactly what He wants them to do. But may I remind you of the words of Jesus that we read this morning in John chapter 10, verse 10. "The thief cometh not, but for to steal and to kill and to destroy." Jesus says, "I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly." God wants this law in order so that people might be saved. Luke 9:56, "For the Son of Man is not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them." And the purpose for the commandments are to protect us, not to harm us. God gave us His laws so that we can truly live life to the fullest. Let me give you a physical illustration, an illustration that we all deal with on a daily basis. Why do we have so many traffic laws? Is it because the Department of Transportation seeks to see us miserable? Is it because the DMV just loves it when we are angry and frustrated? I mean, think of all the laws that are given. We have to buckle our seatbelts or we'll get a ticket. We have to stay in our own lane. We have to abide by the proper speed limit. We have to slow down when there's a yellow light. We have to stop when there's a red light. We have to stop when making right-hand turns often. We have to do all these things. Why are these laws set up? To destroy us? No, to protect us. And so it is with God's law. God has given us all these laws so that we might experience life in the fullest, so that we might be protected from sin, from falling. It's the same thing with parents. I did not understand it when I was a young boy or teenager, but my mom gave me various rules to abide by, not to harm me, but to help me. I have to be home by 9:30. All my other friends are out at midnight. I have to do my homework. You expect me to be at school on time? You want me to have a good education? You don't want me to watch TV for 5 hours when I come home from school? I thought Mom was a killjoy. But she meant the best for me. This is why parents don't allow their children to play with knives and fires and guns at the age of 6. There's a reason. The reason is that they desire their children to be protected. They want their children to live and to be safe. And so it is here with God. God is giving this law so the people might be safe. And God would have us to set up spiritual barriers in our life so that we might be safe, so that we would not fall ourselves, and so that others under our influence, if we are in a place of authority, will not fall as well. This is speaking to parents, grandparents, teachers, pastors, those in authority. So we see the purpose of the wall. The purpose of the wall is to protect. But notice, secondly, the responsibility of the owner to build it. It was the responsibility of the owner to ensure such safeguards were properly built. Look at verse 8 and notice the emphasis. When thou buildest a new house, then thou shalt make a battlement for thy roof, that thou bring not blood upon thine house, if any man fall from hence. 4 times in one verse, God emphasizes that it is the responsibility of the owner to make sure that things are secure. If one died, whose fault would it be? The owner's. God gave the law, and God expected men to follow the law. And so God would have us to put into place spiritual safeguards in our life, so that we or those around us do not end up spiritually injured. And let me, if I can, give you 3 spiritual railings that many Christians fail to build and thus fall headlong into the world or blatant disobedience against God. 3 spiritual railings that we need to make sure are built around our own lives, so that we don't fall and so that others in our home don't fall. And the first, I think, is the railing of entertainment. The railing of entertainment. We need to ensure that we erect a spiritual safety railing of what we expose ourselves and our children to in our homes. Like never before, we as believers are being exposed to sinful things, to the things of this world, and it is happening within our own homes. Movies, television shows, music. We need to make sure that we build a safety railing so that we don't fall headlong into that which is ungodly. We need to put our foot down now and have a policy that is a zero tolerance policy to that which is against the Word of God. It's a little bit quiet in here, but I'll continue. We need to have the backbone as believers to say we are not going to watch any program that has sinful language. We are not going to watch programs that display sensuality or nudity. We are not going to accept entertainment that takes God's name in vain. We are not going to listen to music that speaks like the world, sounds like the world, and is of the world. Music that speaks of violence, music that magnifies fornication, drugs, and alcohol. We are not going to partake in video game that magnifies in fornication and violence and murder. I know this is not a popular subject to preach on, but it must be preached. And parents, listen to me. Parents, what we do in limitation, our children will do in excess. If we allow these things into our home, and even if we open just a tiny bit of the door, don't be surprised if the door is opened in years to come. We become shocked at times. Well, how did this happen? How did my children become exposed to such things? Well, was there an emphasis? Did we compromise on the small things? Did we watch the TV shows with them in the living room? With cussing and swearing and nudity and sensuality? God forbid that that should happen. Many Christians fall and injure themselves because they did not set up a zero-tolerance policy for worldly entertainment. Some of us need to go home and crush some entertainment devices. Some of us need to just take a hammer to our television and let it go. You say, well, that's a bit extreme. But do you remember what Jesus said? Jesus says, wherefore, if thy hand or foot offend thee, cut them off. Cast them from thee. It is better for thee to enter into the life, halt or maim, rather than having two hands or two feet to be cast into everlasting fire. And if thy eye offend thee, pluck it out and cast it from thee. It is better for thee to enter into life with one eye, rather than having two eyes to be cast in hellfire. Now Jesus does not wish for us to take knives and actually pluck out our eyes. But he is magnifying the intensity by which we should fight sin. If something is causing us to sin, he is saying we need to deal with it because sin murdered Christ. So then how can we become a friend to that which murdered our Savior? Sin destroys us. Sin hinders us from loving Christ and serving Christ with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. So why would we allow it into our life? And we remember the words of John Owen, be killing sin or sin will be killing us. And entertainment, oh, it is accepted among Christians today. It's even accepted within churches today. But we must be on guard of it. We must build the railing. We must examine ourselves. I typically don't use personal illustrations, but there was a time in my life the Holy Spirit exposed some things to me as a new believer. The things that I was watching and listening to were not helpful spiritually. And I had a stack of music CDs that was worth a few $100s. And I can remember after being convicted by the preaching of God's Word on a Sunday afternoon, I took my friend. We went to the gas station where it was far away from my house. And I said, I'm getting rid of these and I want you to be my accountability partner. I'm not going back to that filthy music. And do we understand how poisonous these things are? The railing of entertainment. Are all entertainments wrong? Are all television shows bad? No. We won't go there. But there is much that is spiritually unhealthy to our walk with the Lord. So set up the railing of entertainment. And then the railing of associations. As believers, so that we don't fall, we need to make sure that we have a railing secured in our life regarding our associations. 1 Corinthians 15:33, Paul says, "Be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners." And many Christians fall because they neglect to set up a spiritual railing around their relationships. Many believers develop deep friendships with unbelievers, and they fool themselves into thinking, "Well, I can handle it. I'm a strong Christian." And they tell themselves, "Well, maybe I'll be a witness," but they're really not trying to witness for Christ. They are being around them so often that they start joking as they joke. They start talking as they talk. Fools make a mock out of sin. Or other believers become romantically involved with those who are not professing Christians or not living for the Lord. And this is a railing by which we need set up in our life so that we don't fall. Do you remember? Amnon had a friend. That is, Amnon, King David's son, was encouraged by his friend to commit a great evil, and Amnon did that great evil. We see the power of friendships, the power of our associations. And one preacher says this, quote, "Be as careful of the books you read as of the company you keep, for your habits and character will be as much influenced by the former as the latter." We're influenced by the books we read. We're influenced by the people that we are around. And we want to make sure and that we are not influenced in a wrong way by ungodly friends. If I may bring to your remembrance a Disney story. How did Pinocchio end up in Pleasure Island as a donkey? Well, he allowed wrong friends into his life. Well, I know some of you, no, that's not right. He didn't listen to his conscience. Well, that's part of it too. But there were two that came and talked smoothly to him. Two that influenced Pinocchio to skip school and to come and have fun with the other boys on this Pleasure Island. And so Pleasure Island looked like it was going to be fun, but sin's only pleasurable for a season. Then his sin found him out. He became a donkey. So the moral of the story is, if you sin, you'll become a donkey. Spiritually speaking, yes. So we must be careful. We must set up a safety railing of our associations. And then we must set up the safety railing of our spiritual duties. We need to have the spirit of Joshua that says, "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." In my life and in my family, God comes first. Family is not first. Work is not first. Money is not first. Having fun is not first. Sports are not first. God is first. "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto thee." We need to have the spirit where Sundays are non-negotiable days. Church is not optional. Now we need to say, by God's grace, every time the church doors are open, I am there. I am going to strive to do my best to be there. Why do we say this? Because many Christians become beat up, bruised, and bitter because they did not set up the spiritual railing of honoring the Lord's day, honoring the Lord's church, and honoring the Lord's word through the public preaching and teaching of the word. We need a safety railing. Now we know that those who do fall because their relationship with Christ is not strong. They are not worshiping Christ on a daily basis. They do not have an intimate relationship with God's Word. Their prayer life is non-existent. Ask anyone who has fallen and is humble and honest, and we will find that this is the case. We need to take heed to ourselves lest we fall. We see the purpose of the railing. We see the responsibility of the owner to install the railing. But then, let me pull from this also a third point. the responsibility of the owner to constantly inspect the railing. It doesn't say it there, but it says just install the railing. But I think it's implied that the owner of the house should constantly check the railing to make sure it's not loose, so to make sure it's not wobbly. Here in the desert, we know what that's like, don't we? We have heavy winds in the desert. And if we have a fence, some of the fence boards may become loose after a while. And we want to make sure that the fence and the fence boards are up, and they are up in a secure manner so they don't fall down and hit somebody in the face. And if we have biblical standards set up that we feel are safe and God-honoring, we must be sure that they do not become wobbly or weak. It is possible for us to allow others to persuade us to become more loose. It is possible for us to become spiritually lazy. It is possible to quit inspecting and overseeing our needed boundaries. Listen to me, Christians, at this point. Often our boundaries become loose because we fear men over God. What do you mean? Well, we allow what others are doing to be the standard of our lives rather than the Word of God. We fool ourselves into thinking, well, you know, well, I don't want to seem Amish. If I have all these things in my life, I will look like an Amish family in northern Minnesota. And I don't want to be one of those. Or we fool ourselves and we tell ourselves, well, so-and-so is a Christian, and they do such-and-such. And so we can do it too. Or we take down our boundaries, we allow them to become loose because, listen, we are afraid of becoming legalistic or pharisaical. And this is big in our day. How did we come so far of allowing things into our lives and into our churches because we have been afraid of looking as if we are legalistic or pharisaical? And I'm afraid that we've become so afraid of being legalistic and pharisaical that we've become worldly. We give way to sinfulness. We acknowledge it's not our adherence to the Word that makes us spiritual. It's our relationship with Christ that makes us spiritual. It's our abiding in Him. We're spiritual because of what He has done. But yet at the same time, there is a working towards sanctification. Sanctification is not passive. Sanctification is active. Paul says, fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life. Titus 2:12, forsaking ungodliness and worldly lust, we should seek to live holy, righteous, and godly in this present world. And so we have a part in our sanctification process. We must fight. We must deny ourselves, take up our cross, and follow Him. And so that means when we set up barriers, we need to constantly go by and make sure that they are safe, that they are secure, that we don't allow things into our lives that once we denied. In Deuteronomy 4:9, Moses says, only take heed to thyself and keep thy soul diligently. Deuteronomy 4:15, take ye therefore good heed unto yourselves. Deuteronomy 4:23, take heed unto yourselves, lest ye forget the covenant of the Lord your God, which He made with you, and make you a graven image or the likeness of anything which the Lord thy God hath forbidden thee. Again, here's the repetitious preacher. Take heed to yourself. Take heed to yourself. Take heed to yourself. Why did Moses say that? Because he knew the heart of men. And Moses knew his own flesh. He knew that his flesh was weak. And we have constant need to take heed to ourselves. Now, if I can pull this morning's message into tonight, pride will say, well, I don't need railings. I'm strong enough where I don't need them. I can handle anything. I can watch the movies and the television shows and be okay. I can have strong worldly acquaintances and be okay. I can skip church here or there and be okay. And some try to live the Christian life without boundaries, without setting up various safeguards. And unfortunately, little compromise after little compromise after little compromise ends up in a great disaster. A small leak in a big ship over time can bring it down. And so it is in our lives. We must patch the leaks so that we don't fall. If I can remind you of King David. King David, a man after God's own heart. King David once looked over into the home of another, Bathsheba. King David, who was supposed to be at war. King David allowed Bathsheba to entertain his imaginations. He looked and did not turn away. He looked, he desired, and wanted. He forgot about the railing of entertainment. If I can remind you of Solomon, David's son. 1 Kings chapter 11. The Bible says that Solomon loved many strange women. His heart went after women from other countries who served other gods. When the law specifically told him not to do that, what happened with Solomon, the wisest man who ever lived? Well, the railing of relationships got a little wobbly. He quit securing it, and he fell over. Strong Christians that we know become lazy regarding their spiritual responsibilities, regarding their need for the local church, their need for accountability, their need for receiving the Word of God. Their railing of spiritual responsibilities become wobbly, and they fall. And when they fall, they not only hurt themselves, they hurt their children. They hurt their grandchildren. They hurt others around them. Christian, you have a responsibility to walk before the Lord in holiness. Fathers, you have a responsibility to oversee your home, to oversee what comes into your home, to oversee what your family is given to oversee what your children are given to. Parents, fathers, and mothers, we have a responsibility to protect our children. So what if the world thinks we're loony? If we only let them watch rated G films. The world doesn't understand all this. It's for their own good. Let them be ignorant to that which is sinful. Don't expose them so they can reach the world better. That's not a principle of the Bible, to become more worldly so that we can watch or we can reach the world. No, the Bible, on the opposite, says to become more holy so that we can reach the world for Christ. And church, if I can exhort you as we close, we have a responsibility to protect the souls who come into this place. That's why we have a church doctrinal statement. That's why we have a church covenant. That's why we have principles. That's why we follow certain guidelines so that people don't fall. Because as a pastor, we have the responsibility to watch for the souls of others as those who will give an account. So we must strive with all of our being to adhere to the Word of God so that we do not fall as a whole, and so that others would come into this place and feel that they are safe and secure. So we must do our best to ensure that spiritual safeguards are properly built and properly examined. Constantly examined. Deuteronomy 22:8. When thou buildest a new house, then thou shalt make a battlement for thy roof, that thou bring not blood upon thine house, if any man fall from thence." Let's pray. Father, we come before you and we thank you for the power of your word. We thank you for the truths that we can find in every corner of the scriptures. Truly, your word is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. Your word is as a fire. It burns within our hearts and souls. Your word is as a hammer that breaks the rock in pieces. Your word is the sword of the Spirit that cuts through us and convinces us of our great need. Your word is also the healing balm for our hearts, so that we might be comforted and healed when we acknowledge our wrong. Lord, we run to you as our refuge, as our fortress, as our rock. We plead with you to help us as we seek to grow in our sanctification process. And we all face times in our lives in which we become lazy in the fight, in which we allow things into our lives that are poisonous, that are harmful and hurtful. Please help us, Lord, to keep a proper perspective, a biblical perspective of those things that we ought not to have in our lives. Help us to remember that you came to save men's lives and not to destroy them. You have given us these laws to protect us so that we might live life to its fullest for Christ. Lord, you know the hearts and souls of men. I pray that you would help us to be honest before you. If there are any spiritual leeches, that are pulling out our joy, our hope, our confidence, our trust in your word, I pray that we would destroy them even tonight, so that we might have joy unspeakable and full of glory. As we remember the confession psalm of David, yes, David fell, but once he confessed, his joy was restored. He was again filled with the Spirit, and he was used to lead others to Christ once again. Oh, Father, help us to be restored so that we might be usable in your work. For Jesus' name we pray. Amen.